Hey, welcome to the Bartender's Perspective. I'm so happy to have you here. Work is done for the day. Pull up a chair, have a seat. I'll pour you a drink, and let's get started. Tonight, we're going to take an alternative look into an expression quoted by C.S. Lewis from his book, A Grief Observed. The quote, it reads, that only a real risk can truly test the reality of belief. But the perspective I want to discuss, it's not so much the reality of the belief, but the quality and several factors that affect us in life. You know, in a world filled with diverse opinions, beliefs, you know, how can you discern which ones are truly valuable and well-founded? You know, beliefs are a fundamental aspect of human nature. You know, I see it in all shapes and sizes every day. You know, they shape our decisions, our actions, you know, and perspectives on the world around us. However, not all beliefs are created equal. You know, some are based on solid evidence and critical thinking, while others may be formed out of a bias, you know, misinformation, or blatant wishful thinking. You know, but how can you differentiate between those beliefs, you know, which one, the ones that are worth holding on to, you know, and those that might crumble under scrutiny? Well, let's take a look at this and see what we got. So New York Yankees Hall of Fame catcher, Yogi Berra, you know, his famous quote, baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical, suggests that a significant portion of success in baseball, and likely in many other sports, comes from the mental aspect of the game. Believing in your ability and having a positive mindset can play a crucial role in your actual performance on the field. So if you don't believe you can succeed at a particular task or goal, you know, you'll never get started. It just wouldn't make any sense. You know, you're much more likely to chase those big goals if you believe a path that works for you exists. What about failure? You know, it sucks. And it really is a hard lesson to learn. You know, it's something that we all will do in our lives. Walt Disney, you know, he was remembered for his many successes. You know, like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, you know, and of course Disneyland or Disney World. But he also saw his share of failures. I mean, bankruptcy, mental breakdown, you know, a devastating strike, and the earth-shattering loss of control over his creation, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. This is crazy. He was rejected more than 300 times before Mickey Mouse became a success. Overcoming adversity and shifting your perspective on success can make you more resilient, adaptable, and creative. As Walt himself puts it, it is good to have a failure while you're young because it teaches you so much. For one thing, it makes you aware that such a thing could happen to anybody. You know, once you've lived through the worst, you're never quite as vulnerable afterwards. You know, at some point, it's necessary to stop learning, thinking, and planning, and just take action. You know, your results determine your next step. See what happens and adjust your aim. And if the only way to avoid failure is to never do anything at all. So failure, it's a part of success. You know, it's a food for thought, y'all. So a lot of people, you know, growing up, their parents would say to them, you know, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. And while that may be true, there are some people in this world that often wonder, you know, well, if I can do anything, then I guess I can do everything. You know, and there are a few limits to what you can do. You could hike the Appalachian Trail, be a celebrity, go to outer space, you know, or if you want to spend 8 years in medical school and $100,000 later to become a neurosurgeon. You can do one or two of these, but it's unlikely you can do all of them. You know, so this is a point in your life where you have to start thinking about the most important objectives in it, which ones to prioritize, and then which ones to let go. You know, are you struggling with this particular issue right now, deciding what to keep and what to let go? I've seen it at the bar time and time again, you know, moments pertaining to this. You know, when people were struggling with what to prioritize in their life, it's definitely a struggle. So, and I've helped, you know, been a sounding board, you know, for many people to prioritize what it is, you know, they need out of life. Way too many examples for me to give here. You know, not enough time. But anyways, you know, sometimes small improvements are enough. When I wanted to become a bartender, you know, it was something, you know, that I had to learn little by little. I mean, we're talking over the span of, well, 20 years. You know, over the years, I had small goals. You know, I practiced, and I asked lots and lots of questions. You know, and after all that came the time that I finally got to start bartending. And you know, the small goals then, you know, where we had a drink menu, so I learned everything that was on the drink menu to start. You know, then I practice, you know, because, you know, repetition, through repetition, you really become really good at something. And also, I took the time over the years to ask questions, lots and lots of questions, you know, because learning from some of the greats, you know, spending more time with people that know more about alcohol than you, that's one of the secrets to becoming a bartender. Obviously, feedback. I like feedback. It's hard to hear sometimes, but I know in the end it helps me get better. You know, expand your comfort zone, you know, celebrate your progress. You know, when you have a setback, just keep going. And most importantly, be consistent. Fast results require big changes, but those big changes can occur over a long period of time. Trying to change too much, too fast, often won't work in the long term. You know, introduce changes slowly. A small change that's maintained and built upon has a larger effect over time. You know, I used to think that, you know, I had to be the best at anything I did, anything and everything. And I always put a lot of pressure on myself in the process. You know, my friends have always reminded me over the years. You know, my website was recently finished and I was having a problem with writer's block, or so I thought. It turns out it hit me how real this is becoming at being a professional podcaster. And I put pressure on myself to start writing only earth-shattering episodes. Little did I know that, you know, not every single thing I write has to be the absolute best. You know, I was putting all this pressure on myself. But this realization, you know, it made my life so much easier as far as writing. You know, because in the process of all that, I was pushing away my personality and worrying more about, you know, oh, it has to be, you know, Stevie King level worthy. You know, but this realization, you know, it made my life so much easier as far as writing. So, you know, lawyers, teachers, doctors, you know, whoever else, you know, all of them are certainly not going to be the absolute best in their respective fields. You know, you can achieve a high level of success without being the best at anything. Without the pressure to be the best, you know, you can also enjoy your achievements. You know, good things often take time. Mark Zuckerberg, he wrote the first version of Facebook in 2004 while he was a student at Harvard University. It's difficult to say exactly how many hours he spent coding, and it was, he was working on it during his free time. However, it is known that he spent a significant amount of time working on the project as he was determined to create a social networking platform that would connect people from around the world. You know, our society is often impatient. Most good things take time to create, and if you want something spectacular in your life, be patient. It's important to work hard, but temper your expectations with regards to the timing of it all. just sit back and learn to enjoy the process. You know, for many, they already have everything they need to get started. And that's a big obstacle, I think, in life. You know, getting started, you know, it's the biggest obstacle. For whatever reason, you know, we have 100 excuses why we should put things off. Or we always need to acquire or learn one more thing before the time is right to get started, you know, on something. You know, I planned and planned and planned the trip out of the country several years ago. You know, I did all my research. I got everything ready. And all that was left was to pull the trigger. And you know, it was the hardest thing in the world to do. Because it's one of those things, you know, when you do it, it makes it really real. You know, get one of those instances. And well, in the end, I hit submit. And 4 months later, we were on a plane. So you already have what you need to take the first step today. You know, even if you know, even when you get started with something, you know, if something's not going the way it needs to, you can always go back and make adjustments, you know, and learn a little more tomorrow. So, you know, a few simple changes in beliefs can make all the difference. Enjoy your life more and celebrate, you know, more success. You know, consider the impacts your beliefs are having on your life. And fine-tune any beliefs that limit your potential for a more, you know, fruitful and, you know, fulfilling life. So, yeah, something to think about. But what about those beliefs formed out of biases, you know, misinformation or wishful thinking? You know, stereotyping. Ugh, I hate stereotyping. You know, it's assuming that all members of a certain group possess the same characteristics or traits based on limited exposure to a few individuals. Common example, gender stereotype. You know, it's an oversimplified perception of someone based on their gender or sex. You know, this involves making assumptions about what a man or a woman can and can't or should or shouldn't do. You know, gender stereotypes, they've been one of the most insidious types of stereotypes throughout history. You know, up until the early 20th century, you know, many women, as a lot of us know, were not allowed to vote or participate in many professions due to limited beliefs, you know, about their ability to participate in public life. You know, men don't do household chores. Men should be the financial providers for their family. Or how about the man, you know, automatically getting the check if he's out on a date or with his wife or maybe a business dinner? I tell you, I don't know anymore these days. So unless someone asks for the check, has their form of payment out, you know, suggesting they are ready to pay, I always just put the check in the middle of the table. You know, I don't want to make any, you know, assertions like that anymore. So it's 2023. Things have changed. Things are a lot different. So yeah. So, you know, in cryptocurrency or stocks, for a lot of people, if they are convinced that a particular investment is good, they may ignore the warning signs that it might not be. In the first crypto boom of 2018, when Bitcoin went crazy, you know, everybody did what was called FOMO, which in the trading community is fear of missing out. And was buying into Bitcoin and many of the tokens at the time, you know, because they were thoroughly convinced that it was a good investment. And then, of course, you know, everything crashed and people lost millions of dollars. And yeah, it was awful. You know, this is what's known as the confirmation bias. You know, it can often lead to a lot of bad decision making. Some people put so much emphasis at times on getting a job with a particular company, and in the process, you know, not consider other opportunities that may be better suited for them. And with the confirmation bias, I mean, only seeking out information that supports one's existing beliefs and ignoring or dismissing contrary evidence. Yeah, bad things just tend to happen. So you might have an age bias. If you work for someone younger than you, you know, for some, they assume that he or she cannot have enough experience to be a good manager. You know, and then the opposite is also true for many. You know, you might have an example of when you assume an older employee is not able to learn new skills at work. This is what's called an implicit bias. You know, it's an unconscious bias that affects our actions and our designs, often leading to unintentional discrimination. All right, do y'all remember those cliques in your high school or the well-to-do social circles of society today? You know, if, take a moment to remember the movie Grease, your movie reference. We can remember, you know, Danny from the T-Birds and Sandy from the Pink Ladies. Or the Greasers or the Socias from S.E. Hinton's famous novel, The Outsiders. This particular principle, it's in-group favoritism. It's believing that one's own group is superior to others and favoring members of that group while displaying hostility towards outsiders. Yeah, that was, I really love that book, The Outsiders, but I'm going to stay on topic. All right, whoever, who's been cut off in traffic, raise your hand. My hand's up for the record. You know, we get cut off in traffic, you know, we might be inclined to yell profanities at the person and call them all sorts of, you know, choice phrases and names. You know, this person is terrible. You know, I'm not going to say what a lot of people probably want to say in situations like this. But in this situation, you know, we're extrapolating from a one-off behavior and assigning them a personality based upon an isolated incident. This particular idea is called the fundamental attribution error. Yeah, it's a mental shortcut. It involves explaining another person's behavior in terms of their personality rather than attributing their behavior to a situational context. Yeah, I can totally relate to that. So, all right, how about a hiring manager? You know, people go out and they look for jobs and they talk to hiring managers. They get the interview and they show up. And the hiring manager, you know, he's particularly interested in a candidate's experience with a specific software program. They may ask a series of questions about that topic, but overlook other important skills or qualities the candidate possesses. This particular bias is what's known as an anchoring bias. So in cases like this, the hiring manager, you know, he relied too heavily on the first piece of information encountered when making decisions, even if it's irrelevant, you know, or misleading. Yeah. All right, another really good one. You know, plane crashes. Plane crashes can make people afraid of flying. But however, you know, the likelihood of dying in a car accident is far higher than dying as a passenger on an airplane. I still remember the not the Henry Cavill Superman, but one back Superman movie where he saved a bunch of people from a crashing plane and asked everyone if they're okay. And then the last thing, you know, he reminds them that, you know, statistically speaking, flying is still the safest way to travel. this is from the principle, the availability heuristic. It's essentially giving greater weight to information that is easily accessible in memory, even if it's not representative of the overall situation. You know, a belief like this can hinder critical thinking, perpetuate stereotypes, and lead to just plain unfair treatment, you know, or misunderstandings. It's important to be aware of our biases, you know, and actively work to overcome them. Which ones can you relate to in your life or have you experienced? And after that, I want to point out one more thing of note. You know, navigating disagreements and uncertainty. You know, in a world where conflicting beliefs often lead to heated debates, it's essential, you know, to approach those disagreements with an open mind, you know, going back to a podcast topic I did. Engaging in a constructive dialogue with those who hold opposing beliefs, you know, can help us refine our own perspectives and identify blind spots. Embracing uncertainty is also crucial. You know, acknowledging that some beliefs may need to evolve or change based on the new information is a sign of intellectual honesty. You know, as we wrap up today's episode, remember that not all beliefs are created equal. The quality of a belief is truly tested when it's subjected to real risks, challenges, and scrutiny. Embracing the unknown, engaging with different viewpoints, and being willing to adjust our beliefs based on the evidence are all part of this ongoing process. So I hope that after tonight, my listeners, that you will think about more about the beliefs to hold on to that stand strong in the face of rigorous testing, and let go of those that crumble under the weight of scrutiny. Keep questioning, keep challenging, and remember that it's through testing that our beliefs find their true quality. But in closing, if you like my podcast, please feel free to tell at least 3 people about my podcast if you think they'll get something out of it. This will always help me continue to get my message out there to more people. So, but unless you want another drink, as always, thank you for stopping in. Here's your check. My regular podcast hours are every Sunday night at 7 p.m. So you can come back and see me then. Have a great night.